because the gut, and I think the thing that is probably surprising to a lot of people is that the epithelial cells of the gut, particularly, so we're talking now the small and large intestine, are really their immune cells. So besides worrying about absorption and secretion, they are continually monitoring and doing those things, one, to help maintain health, but then two, just to see what's, you know, they're continually sensing. So any, you know, disturbances or perturbations in anything, so when we deal with intakes, we deal with heat stress, which obviously affects intakes, ingredient content, all those things have a major effect then on how the gut and the microbiome interact in order to maintain the health of the animal.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Adasail, provider of Smartamine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production. Kemin invites you to optimize your herd's performance. Dive in at kemin.com/dairy. Birdus Nutrition, the fatty acid people. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Zinpro Isoferm is the nutrient your herd needs. Fuel the rumen first and unlock dairy herd productivity and greater profitability.
So hello, everyone. This is Luis Ferreiro, one of the hosts of the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt podcast. And today we'll have a discussion about the importance of gut health. And to help us with that, we have Dr. Chris Chase, Professor Emeritus at South Dakota State University. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure for us to learn with your experience in this topic. But before we get into this topic that I know is very important and affects not only dairy cows, but humans and all the other animal species, give us a brief background about yourself.
I'm glad to be here. Glad to be with another fellow badger. I'm originally from South Dakota and grew up 100 miles north of Brookings, and then actually came here to do my pre-vet, and then I'm a veterinarian, so I went to Iowa State to get my DVM. And then I was involved for about 5 years in mixed animal practice, but doing actually a fair amount of dairy work. I worked for a veterinarian who hated to do DA surgeries. So whenever I would go on a vacation, I could count on at least four or five DAs when I got back. And then I went to grad school then at the University of Wisconsin in immunology and virology. And then I spent a couple more years working for the Agricultural Research Service in Laramie, Wyoming, and I came back here in 92. I've been here since 1992. And then besides being at the university, where my group really works with particularly innate immunity in cattle, I've also have a research company, and that company works with all the big companies in terms of vaccine trials. So we do lots of work on things like lepto vaccines and BVD and those kind of things. So, and then because I had nothing else to do, I until 2009, I was still doing some practice just south of here. So I tried to keep myself busy.
Well, I think that's great because, you know, whenever you have someone that has the understanding you do, people have to at least appreciate that and make sure they continue to learn. Said that, I know that you can guide us through this, right? So please explain to us a little bit about the role of the gut in regulating the immune system and why is that so important to animals?
Well, I think that the first thing we have to realize is that actually the gut is the largest immune organ of the body. And for any kind of animal welfare and health, the gut has to really be in harmony with the microbiome. And the microbiome and the gut are continually interacting with each other. And so because the gut, and I think the thing that is probably surprising to a lot of people is that the epithelial cells of the gut, particularly, so we're talking now the small and large intestine, are really their immune cells. So besides worrying about absorption and secretion, they are continually monitoring and doing those things, one, to help maintain health, but then two, just to see what's, you know, they're continually sensing. So any, you know, disturbances or perturbations in anything, so when we deal with intakes, we deal with heat stress, which obviously affects intakes, ingredient content, all those things have a major effect then on how the gut and the microbiome interact in order to maintain the health of the animal. So it's a partnership. And I, like I said, when I took immunology, we just talked about mucosal immunology and like, well, that's part of the gut's part of that. But I would turn that around and say, without the gut, we don't have an immune system.
So that's basically a very good perspective, because tell us nutritionists that we have to protect that gut, right? Because otherwise we're going to start having a lot of issues that very likely we don't know how to solve. We're going to have to ask someone else to take care of that for us and go from there. Said that, how do we keep the gut healthy so we can make sure that the immune system continues to function? And I know you mentioned a lot of those key interactions. A couple of those that I think are key would be, obviously, from my perspective, nutrition, and I'm very biased by that. But heat stress as well, right? Because it's something that in a lot of places is very hard to control and drastically affect animals, right? But going back to the question, right? So how do we keep that gut healthy?
Well, you know, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that it begins with something even simpler than that, and that's just water. Okay, because the thing is that I think probably one of the most appreciated issues is water, and because without adequate water, obviously that has a major effect on intake. But when you think about the immune system and you think about the gut, I mean, the gut's coated with mucus that's made up of water. The movement of ingesta requires that we have plenty of water, and you know, we have good quality water. Now, and that, you know, one of the things that I've had dealt with over the years is just the issues, for example, with street voltage, where one of the bigger problems really is about intakes, and particularly water intake, because oftentimes they'll have that. But so to me, it begins with water. So good quality water and having an adequate intake. And then when you just, you know, spoke to heat stress, I mean, that's a big problem with heat stress in terms of, you know, of being able to maintain those intakes. And then it really gets back to, I mean, the basic, and it's like the Mediterranean diet, which is, you know, which cows are on, which is all, it's about fiber. It's about roughage and roughage intake. And we know that in young calves, whatever we can do to sort of get that that end of the fiber thing going really helps in terms of microbiome diversity. And the other thing, and this gets back to towards sort of the whole balance thing. So with intakes, then gets us into, and certainly Lance Baumgart has spent a lot of time talking about leaky gut. But I mean, leaky gut is real. Leaky gut is, and it goes in both directions. In other words, if I have a respiratory problem, that in turn, because it's systemic, can also affect the gut. But the gut is really the driver as far as I'm concerned. So really, what we can do in terms of those intakes and, you know, making the transitions that we need to make, feed quality is huge. And because anything that turns those cows off and results in decreased intake, beginning with, you know, and the one that's obvious for most of us is heat stress, because the appetite is dramatically affected by heat stress. And unfortunately, the good Lord didn't teach cows how to sweat. So we that ends up being a big. So I think what we can do in terms of heat abatement and management, what we can do in terms of making sure that the quality of our ingredients, that what we're doing with our TMRs makes sense. And then there's what I call the sort of the three minerals that I think of, zinc, selenium, and copper being really key with the immune system. And on the other side, vitamin A, D, and E being really essential too. And I think I think we've seen this more in young calves, appreciating that, in fact, that we think, you know, in ruminants that A is not an issue, but I would say I think more times than not that there's an issue that that's kind of unresolved. So those, you know, it's sort of the basics of cow management helps us in terms of managing that immune system in the gut.
No, absolutely, and yes, as you said, those are cow basics, but that there are still issues, right? That happens in the field, and sometimes we miss some of the basics. Yeah, water intake is key, right? Milk is pure water, basically 88%. But what you mentioned about, you know, the quality of the feeds and making sure that the animal maintain intake, I think is great. Because a couple of years ago, we had a study where we had a small part of our bunker, a haylage bunker, being with some Clostridia. And some of the cows that ate that, they had a lot of digestive upsets and a lot of issues, you know, even some HBS cases, which traditionally we don't associate with Clostridia, right? But it's purely some of those digesta moving so fast through the gastrointestinal tract and moving some of the corn, and I do feed a lot of corn, so I know that I'm guilty, but no, absolutely. I think that makes so much sense to me, and I think that's a great description of that. Are there, you mentioned minerals, vitamins, obviously fiber. Are there any sort of additives that play a role as well, or those more basic traditional components of the diet are more important to ensure gut health?
Well, Luis, as you and I know, that is a really emerging area, because we've worked a lot with probiotics and prebiotics. Okay, for example, I mean, there's obviously other things that, in terms of that, but I mean, that certainly as we look at gut health, and we look at particularly, I think, the development of the microbiota and the microbiome, though, we're getting to understand more and more about some of those additives, and I absolutely, I think they have a huge role. And I think in a dairy cow, it's not to me, because of everything we understand with residues and antimicrobials, is quite as is on the beef side. But I mean, I think the use of those is only going to increase, and we have seen, you know, where we're particularly, I think, in influencing microbiome, because the other thing about microbiome is that it influences, so mucus depth is related to how the quality of your microbiome. The amount of secretory IgA is related to the quality of your microbiome. And again, those are all things in that we enhance. So as we look at the botanicals and some of those things, I think in the calf, I think they obviously have a different role than they do in the cow, and because I think in the calf we're looking more at microbiome development, in the cow we're looking at more obviously microbiome maintenance in order to keep that going. But I, you know, it's one of those things that I think, you know, it's emerging. I think what's clear is that those types of additives are going to be used in not as a single silver bullet, but rather there's going to be combinations, and at certain times. So maybe some are going to be better during times of heat stress, because we're after something, you know, a little bit different there to have, you know, our tight junctions regulated. And we know, I think the other thing that has become really interesting, I mean, so it sort of blew me away when we understood that smooth muscle, so gut movement, is really dependent on signals from the immune system. So macrophages actually send the signals to the neurons, to the smooth muscle, to say, okay, gut, let's have peristalsis. So it really gets back to, again, what can we do to keep that gut happy, that we have that, and what we call the anti-inflammatory response in the gut, so that the gut can help maintain health. But that really begins because of the partnership between the gut and the microbiome. And those two have got to be talking to each other. And when you've got feed quality issues, and we've certainly seen, I think the other thing we've seen, you talked about Clostridium, we've seen where there's, you know, where there's a lot of yeast. In other words, you know, feed this guy that's a huge amount of yeast, and that seems to throw cows off as well, because that microbiome was dependent on a balance, and now we're throwing something else at it, and guess what? It's got to make a correction. So,
oh, absolutely, yeast is a huge deal, and my primary area of research is silage, and I'll tell you, we silage scientists, we overlook a lot of things, but not yeast. I think there is a lot that we have to learn about that and the impact to animals. And so I'm very happy you mentioned that, because it matches perfectly with what I believe and some others have been discussing in the field. And yes, it is a major issue, and certainly contributes to a lot of different things.
It doesn't have to be this hard to keep cows pregnant. At Verdeus Nutrition, we understand the negative impact that lost pregnancies have on a dairy's economics. Every failed pregnancy means more money spent on expensive semen, additional replacements to raise, and fewer valuable beef calves to sell. Feed what embryos need. Strata with EPA DHA, the pregnancy nutrient.
Chris, thanks again for, I'm going to say, this mini lecture that you gave us about how important the gut is, right? Obviously, I had no doubts on how important it was, but you just told me more things that I have to care about. And I'm certain that some of the nutritionists at home are also eager to learn more about that. So do you have any final thoughts or any advice for anyone that is learning more about this area and want to continue to better understand how important keeping the gut healthy is?
Well, I mean, there continue to be, you know, really, really good review articles that keep coming out. I mean, it's one of those things you just need to be able to do it. Keep your nose in the literature, because I think it's to me, it's sort of fascinating to see what comes out of it. And not to necessarily give a plug to anything, but there's actually a bovine immunology online book that I was part of that we could probably put in your show notes as well, because it's available and it's free and it's online, where we talk about gut health. We talk about a lot of things in terms of just what the things that we talked about today, but I'd be glad to share that with you too, if that would be useful.
Absolutely. If you share the link with us or the information with us, we'll make sure we post together with those videos and people at home can have access and continue to better understand. So thanks again, Chris. Really appreciate the discussion today. Thank you at home for joining us for this podcast once again. And I hope to see you soon.